It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news in the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny P.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 174, coming to you like a bunch of lads driving high-powered tractors on their way to do silage. Arr. On this week's podcast, we discuss lads who fought the law, some won and some not so much. That's right, we will be discussing scams, robberies, frauds, the whole shebang.
It may be 20 degrees outside, but you'll never see him without his leather jacket. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
She's live and exclusive in the studio. Yes, Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as your mammy making a salad for dinner, because it's too hot.
It's just too hot.
It's too hot for...
It's much too hot.
You couldn't have regular dinners. Too hot.
If anything, it's too hot.
Too hot. We will run off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts of the week. Before commencing with proceedings, though, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, on polygamy.
Through the chair.
Through the, if I could just talk about multiple sexual partners through the chair for a minute here, Chairman, right?
Yeah.
Anonymous. I'm not surprised this one is anonymous, to be honest. The whole thing with swinging, it's all fun and games until somebody ends up pregnant. Oh! I did not think about that,
shit,
to be honest.
Shit.
So the sister has dabbled in swinging for 10 plus years, I would say.
You got a number for her?
10 plus.
She's I'm in experienced.
I'm in my late 30s and she's younger than me. Ooh, she's married, kids, all of that. I believe her particular brand of swinging would be couple swapping. So herself and the husband would essentially have sex individually with the partners of another couple. She has talked to me casually about the topic. I've never really wanted too much detail. Last year, my sister fell pregnant, and wouldn't you know, her husband had the snip 5 years ago. Oh, shit.
Oh my God.
She told me the truth about her conception, but she told others the vasectomy failed. At what point they discussed raising the child with the other couple in some sort of sister wives arrangement.
Oh my God.
The other woman went off the deep end. All contact was cut with this other couple. They got away scot-free from any legal, moral or financial obligations to the child. My poor saint of a brother-in-law is raising the child as one of his own, and that's that. Wow. We're talking about swinging and polygamy last week. I did not see that coming.
No, it's all funny. I thought, like, surely those guys would be using protection. I mean, like,
if anybody needs protection.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're going to have sex with multiple people, like, let alone getting people pregnant, just from an STI or STD, whatever they want to call it these days, point of view, you'd wrap it.
100%.
You know what I mean? You got to be wrapping that shit.
Wipe your feet in and out of the place. I just said also a message to your lady.
Mm-hmm. I'm not into any of that shit, right?
I too am in a relationship with a funny fella from the Midlands who is useless at DIY, and I feel your pain.
Okay.
Smacks, you might be useless at DIY, but you're not from the Midlands.
There you go. There you go. Every cloud has a silver line. Listen, each their own when it comes to everyone's sexual needs. And also to this person who wrote in anonymously. This going, you thought that one was bad. This is going to blow your mind.
Polygamy. Here we go.
Open your ears for this one. Well, lads, I'm sure you've been inundated with correspondence about this, but I've been exploring polyamory with a while now and thought I would share some things I've learned along the way. If you keep me anonymous, that would be great. We sure will. I've only recently taken the time to join support groups, attend meetings, and properly learn the terminology around polyamory, so I won't claim to be the most knowledgeable person.
Oh.
She goes to SA, Shagging Anonymous.
She says support groups.
Yeah. I didn't know this stuff was this in-depth.
Yeah.
It was like, do you want to shag her? Yeah, sound. There you go. Take her away.
So these polyamory, multiple girlfriends, boyfriends.
Suppose you want to know what you're getting into. There's probably a support network for, like, if you're in a couple or something, and, you know, one of you is like, oh, yeah, I love the polyamory, and the other person's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, who do you go talk to about?
Yeah.
So you don't talk to the parish priest, like.
It's been like, look, father, you know, it's been a hard week there, you know. Siobhan was out fucking, she got nailed 6-7 times this week. I'm just not alright with it, you know. I'm at home watching Claire Byrne and it's very lonely.
At first I was up for it, you know. I seemed to be gassed, but now
he's got really bad post nut. No, I, honestly, Marta, you don't know anything about these support groups. I don't know why I'm asking you. That's a top shagger, Marta. Do you know how it is? Neil, can we look up these support groups? Yeah, he knows, all right.
Yeah, Neil knows. Search history. Neil's got him on speed dial there. Right, go on. Sorry,
okay, I'm back to these support groups, right? Fair play. At least they have support groups. That's what I'm going
to
say.
Back to the letter, okay.
But what this person says is, I will say that it's more common in Ireland than a lot of people would believe. There we go. I've been so surprised by how open friends and Irish society in general is to the idea of polyamory. I'm from a small country village myself, and although friends have said that they don't foresee themselves ever exploring it, the only real qualm or question they have is, where the fuck do you find the time for all these people?
Yeah.
which is a fair point, Anonymous. There's a misconception around polyamory that it's all about sex and is a free-for-all to do whatever you want. Well, we must admit, that's what we thought coming into this. I'm glad we're being set straight. Polyamory just means that you are open to intimate relationships with more than one person. So in truth, polyamory is more about openness, respect, fluidity, honesty, checking in with partners, setting boundaries, consent, and loads of communication. Getting the ride with a variety of people is just a bonus if and when that happens, says Anonymous. Another common misunderstanding about poly is that people involved simply don't get jealous. This isn't the case at all. After all, jealousy is an innate human emotion. Again, it's about being honest and forthcoming with your partner or partners when those feelings of jealousy arise so that everyone can work through them together. Another final thing that really gets to me is the perception that it is a lifestyle perpetuated by a man in a relationship because he's living the ultimate shagger fantasy. Again, one of my preconceptions. Although this may be the case in some circumstances, it is not the majority, and I imagine men with that mentality don't get on very well in the poly community. I've drawn a map here of the current polyamorous web that I found myself in. I've even color-coded them for those who identify as male and female because I'm procrastinating from my actual work. And as you can see, it's definitely not just the men who are benefiting from the situation. Everyone involved is so caring, respectful, understanding, appreciative, and horny for each other. Oh, and I believe Johnny B's missus is friends with someone in the web, so the world of polyamory really isn't too far removed from the world of the two Johnnies. Who knows, maybe we will all be attending the two Johnnies swinger club tour soon. Hashtag get loose.
Just want to emphasize the word friends there.
It turns out looking at this web, oh my God, Johnny.
So there's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven
people involved.
Six.
Yeah, I'm very bad at counting.
Well, it's shocking graph to look at.
Yeah, so
this person, she's put herself in the middle, and then she's dating two people.
She's dating and friends with someone else, so that's two. Then she's dating three, but the people she's dating are also fucking. They're all at here by the looks of it. And then we got an ex-partner in, which is always tricky. We've asked this person for permission
to post this on social media.
So maybe it'll be on our Instagram.
Oh, wow, look at these two. They've got a dotted line between them saying occasional threesome.
Yeah, yeah. But most importantly, housemates.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, where's the tea bags? Who cares? That's shag.
Then those people good. Are friends / dating.
Yeah.
And then the person, our writer, is definitely dating two people.
Yeah,
and they're also dating each other. Both the people she's dating.
Fucking. Wow. Wow, okay, we are moving to that town.
Somebody in this chart is bisexual.
Yeah, the writer of the email is bisexual.
Yeah, by the looks of it, because she's color-coded men and women here.
Yeah. So she's with two women and one man.
Listen, we always said it here in the Two Johnnies podcast, yeah. Who are we to judge? Each to their own.
You're asking there about support groups. There is a support group on Facebook called Polyamory Ireland, and it's a private group, and they have 1,300 members.
Okay.
Yeah. How? Well, I join group. Okay. Yeah,
join group.
Go on, fuck. Yeah, go on.
Okay.
Also, while we're on the topic of groups, the Two Johnnies community is going well on Facebook. On Facebook. Maybe you can meet each other there, do a bit of swinging. I don't know. Whatever you want.
This is fascinating. I really want to know. Like, the first thing, to be honest, the kind came to our mind is, are they doing
are you, is your missus involved?
Yeah. After I ruled that out. Are they doing loads of writing? So there's six people on this graph. But what if one of the people in this graph goes on a night out? Are they allowed to pull a randomer? Or is it like, oh, no, come on now, those are the boundaries. This person is outside the circle.
Yeah, I'm just looking at here. One person is like just dating one person. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Who, the person at the bottom left?
This person is just dating.
Yeah, but she's having threesomes with one of the other people.
Yeah, but like, obviously, I'm guessing the threesome is with her other partners. I feel like, out of all the people involved in this web, that person in the left-hand corner of the web is probably getting the raw seal. I know we're talking about something that you can't see, but hopefully we can post this and show you, and you can figure out for yourselves.
I'd just love to know more about the boundaries. Like, if you're... It's obviously...
What if you're on a night out and you're like, oh, I want to do something outside the web?
That's what I'm saying.
This is the most horniest COVID bubble I've ever came across, this web.
Wow. Okay. Get back in touch. We need you on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh my God. If you want to, we can distort your voice. It'll be like, oh, do a load of shagging. It's right crank. We can do that, honestly. So Maura, you're looking after that email. We'll hopefully get an update back on that. And as we said, each their own. Babysitting. Anonymous was in touch. You were talking last week about babysitting and how lads call it babysitting when they are taking care of their own kids. Yes, parents saying they're babysitting their own kids. I have this cousin who's in his 40s now. He is a single father of 3 kids. He works part-time and spends the rest of his time playing video games. His mother, the kid's grandmother, has the kids 5 or 6 days a week. Not only does he not pay for her for babysitting, but he doesn't send up food for the kids, which results in her spending a small fortune on dinners, school lunches for the kids. She also has to walk the kids to and from school every day, which she is not able for at all. Here's the kicker. Every now and then, she will ask him for a lift downtown so that she can do her shopping for the week, and his response is always the same. He says, I don't have time, and I don't have the petrol to be driving you downtown every week.
Ah, fuck this lad.
This guy's a tosser.
Where's this going?
Oh, and when she asks him for money for minding them, he says, fuck off, that's what grandmothers are for. Wow, this guy is a prick. Not surprised he's single. Now, I know for a fact that he listens to this podcast every week, and I'm sending this in so that he can hear it and hopefully just see how much of a bollocks he is. As I mentioned, she has asked him for money, but that's only to go towards dinners and lunches for his kids. She's never expected any actual payment for babysitting, even though she definitely deserves it. As I mentioned before, he only works part-time 2 or 3 days a week and spends the rest of the time playing PlayStation with his friends. I'd like to hear what you think about a situation like this. Personally, I think it's disgraceful. And as I said, this is anonymous and I've changed certain details of the story. But if this person I am describing sounds like you, you need to put on the kettle and have a cup of cop on for yourself.
Snap.
Wow, we are slowly, after 170 odd weeks, we have turned full into Joe Duffy. Come on, caller. Sure. Go on.
Go ahead.
He plays PlayStation. He does.
Okay,
he does.
So your cousin's a girl. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, right?
So if you are that man listening to this, pull your socks up. Get your ideas together.
Absolutely. Allergies.
Yes. More pressing issues.
On Maura's mystery topic about allergies, Oscar emailed to say, for some reason, when I see blood, my body can't handle it and I faint. You know people like this too.
Yeah, Annie.
And she'd often see blood.
She'd have put up on it, like I got bursted. And she was like, oh, I'm going to faint. So I obviously, you know, being the first aid, I put her on a high stool. With no back.
Oh, jeez.
She wasn't, like, I don't know. Wasn't my best move.
You know how fainting works, though.
Yeah. I had an idea how fainting works. Eh? Yeah, look, you know, I was there to catch her when she fell. Not ideal.
Okay. Yeah. So, anyway, we said once.
I got a box in the night out as well. One night I came home and like I had a bloody nose. And she was like, oh my God. I was like, great, I need you for moral support. Yeah.
She'd be no good in a fight.
No. She'd kill you in a fight. I think it's just blood.
Until she draws
yeah,
blood.
Yeah, she'll kill you without blood.
Once in. She put a bar of soap in like a pillowcase and batter you. She's okay with bruises.
Yeah, no sharp edges.
Yeah. Once in transition year,
she's going
to
kill me.
As a preview to the book on Thrill, my teacher put on the film Magdalene Sisters. Remember this one? Mm. It was all going well for me up until the point when the main character tried to escape the laundry and ended up getting her hair cut by the nuns. Her scalp was caught. They cut off a fair bit. She started bleeding down her face. Legs started to wobble even though I was sitting. And the head started to go, which ended up me fainting onto the table. I have no memory of this. The friends had to fill me in what followed. My teacher, very flustered, so she starts to panic. She lays me out on the ground and tells one of the lads in a hurry to put the film on pause. He just so happened to pause the film in the bit where they line all the women up stark naked on screen. The bell for lunch went with the classroom being beside windows. A few classes walked past, looking in the window to see me on the floor when people gathered around me, while up on the projector were naked women. Not sure if they thought I was going on. What was going on? if I'd been overcome by the female body. To top off the story, my teacher sent for the nurse, who arrived with a wheelchair, and I was wheeled out past all the older years at their lockers for lunch with my head in my hands. And Oscar has attached a picture of himself out in the car park
being wheeled
by the nurse.
Oh man.
And he has a big smile on his face. Thanks for that, Oscar.
Did any of your schools actually have a nurse?
I know, it's just...
Oh, like sure, like if you burst yourself, like they just, I think, like I just one got of the my mobile phone and rang me mother, like just
dabbed you.
Yeah, I can't remember like an actual school nurse. Maybe that's a rule now. I'm not too sure. What?
Where in Cashel?
You the school nurse in Cashel?
I don't know what actual nurse must be called
there now. Yeah, it was someone you called the nurse.
Wow, I don't think we had that in my school.
It was
at
definitely
all.
One of the cleaners, lad. They just change hats.
Possibly, okay. The caretaker.
Spraying toilet duck into your wound. That'll clean you up now, he'd be lovely.
Charlie said, I'll preface this with, my mother is a great woman and this story is retold at any family get-together. Sorry, before I get into Charlie, I just want to say as well.
Yeah, we're not getting into Charlie, lad.
I'm not great.
Oi, oi.
I'm not great with needles either. It's just while I was poking fun at Annie, I once squashed a nurse to a desk as well.
Why?
Getting a tennis jab.
What do you mean?
She was like, you all right to stand up? Are you sure? No, you're all right with needles. I was like, yeah, and it's not bothering me. Like, I was just cutting myself from work in the butcher counter. And she like gave me the injection in my arm and I just went, boof. And she like, she was tiny. So she's around 8 stone. And I was just fell dead weight on top of her. And like, she fell on the bench and I was just lying on top of her. And then when I came to, I was like, I didn't know if I was actually fucking throwing the head on her or what was that for happening. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. She was like, sit down, Pitch. You got a shock. I was like, I'm so sorry.
What age was she?
I don't know, 45. Why is the nurse something?
I don't know. You threw the head in, I don't know.
Okay, Charlie.
Wait, did not give you a tetanus shot in your arse?
No, the arm. Pretty sure I got in the arm.
I don't know what hospital I went to.
I think it's usually injected into muscle. I had to get before into my arm.
Have you not seen my arms? I definitely got an injection, yeah. Maybe.
Got mine in the lead.
I got it anyway. Stuck her to the bed. Cool. Oh, yeah, not it. Oh, filth. Charlie said his mother is a great woman, and this story is retold at any family get together. I have a few food allergies, including nuts. I was 7 years old when it was properly diagnosed. Shortly after being diagnosed, it was Halloween. The mother took my older brother and I to a Halloween fancy dress party in a town about 30 minutes away. As usual with Halloween parties, there were bowls of monkey nuts laying around. My mother was convinced that I wasn't allergic, despite having had a fair few bad reactions since I was a baby. Her exact words were, "Of course you're not allergic. The doctors don't know what they're talking about." She cut a tiny bit of a nut and told me to eat it to prove I wasn't allergic.
Why a tiny bit? Come on, ma'am.
Despite only being 7, I knew better and refused. She basically force-fed me it and was convinced that the whole allergy thing was a con. Within a minute, I was in the bathroom throwing up and my face began to swell up like the Elephant Man. Of course, she hadn't brought the EpiPens either, and we had to race home in the car with me hanging my head out the window to be able to breathe. When we got home, my dad had the doctors ring and told him I'd be down ASAP. My mother, of course, said I'd be fine without needing to go, that I just needed to lie down for a while.
Jeez.
Thankfully, my dad had more sense, made her bring me down. Got injected with adrenaline and antihistamines and lived to tell the tale. The doctor gave my mother a good telling off. Anyway, I went into school that Monday and recounted the whole thing in my weekend diary book. My sign-off line being, at least I didn't have to buy a Halloween mask due to my facial features, looking like they'd been rearranged at random. The teacher was probably near ready to ring social services. I'm 25 now and have had only 2 major reactions since, one being at my granny's wake, which is another story entirely. Have to read everything before eating it, and restaurants can be a nightmare. But it's all about being careful. No allergies, man. They're serious.
Some dogs.
That's a great story as well, can I just say from my mum?
Get that into you, you'd be grand.
It's like the time I told my mother, like, my wrist is really sore. She was like, oh, you shut up about your wrist. Like, and I was like, seriously, it's really sore. And then like she was like, right. Like after like 5 days, she was like, I'm bringing you to hospital to get an x-ray now. And I proved there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
So I got the x-ray and the doctor was like, oh, no, there's nothing. There's just like... He sprained his wrist or whatever. I told you, don't stay at and about it again. I was like, 2 weeks later, this wrist was still killing me. They rang in from the hospital. Like, sorry, we got the x-rays mixed up. It's fractured. I had to go back and get a cast on. I was like, I told you. I'm sorry. But I mean, to be honest, this mother is just a lot of neglect there. Like getting a child who's allergic to nuts. Just eat a bit of a peanut, you'd be grand. I bet that's like, eat Snickers. It's grand. This is sure there's so much chocolate in you wouldn't even know there's
nuts. You wouldn't want to end up eating them.
Oh my God.
On the guards, Paddy said one evening a group of us in Dublin went for takeaway pints and sogged some cans down the canal. Just one of the nicer parts of D4. So it wasn't like there was going to be any trouble. Just some harmless drink and good crack with the lads. So as we were sitting down, minding our own business, the rest of the young folk down the canal, we noticed a group of Gardaí walking from group to group, inspecting and moving people on. You could tell straight away that there was a hint of tension among the group, as you never know what sort of encounter you're going to have with the Gardaí. So this Garda strolled over to us. He had a good old gawk at what we were up to. We initially made the usual small talk to get in his good side, hoping he wouldn't be a bollocks and move us on. We were only having some innocent crack over some cans and takeaway pints, so there wasn't really anything to be worried about. Most of the lads in the group would be from Dublin, with myself and another young lad from Meath. After some small talk, I picked up his thick country accent. I'll have a bit of crack with this lad and ease the tension, I thought to myself. Initially, I had the notion he might be from the Midlands somewhere, possibly Carlow. Grim, I know. After a few wrong guesses, he told us he was from Tip. Here we go, I thought. I'll chance my arm and see if he knows the two Johnnies. I asked him, was he far from Care? To which he replied, ah yeah, not too far. When I asked if he knew the two Johnnies, he quickly answered, would she drink oil? To which I replied, she would if she got it. Whoop, whoop. I was bursting my hole laughing with the lads around me not having a clue what was going on. Myself and the guard had a great old laugh. It turns out this guard has previously been mentioned on your podcast. You know, the lad who worked in passport control and thought AI meant artificial insemination and not artificial intelligence.
Oh,
we had great crack with him after. He even thrown some shade at how the lads were dressed. Instead of moving us on, he just told us, move across the bridge there, you'd be grand. No hassle. Whoop, whoop. Up the guards.
I tell you, the cop deserves the mug this week. Yeah. But who is going to get the Two Johnnies podcast mug sponsored by KC Sports, who sell all the lovely Two Johnnies merchandise? TwoJohnnies.ie. If you want to get your hands on some of the merch.
Maura, who'd you like for the mug? Maura in studio, Faye.
Wow, how quick. No delay.
I want to give it to the girl who sent us in the diagram, quite detailed diagram of polyamory, if she allows it to share us on social media. She emailed me back there when I sent her the reply, but because she sent us the email from her work email, a warning, she can't see my reply because it's like, this contains sexual content.
Oh, no way.
So she's emailed me from her own email account going like, oh, what did you say back to me? So I don't know if she's going to give us allow us share that diagram on our socials, but we'll see.
Yeah, in fairness, it's a very detailed email and I think it educated us as well.
It's one of the best things we've ever got from a work email.
So I feel
she's got to get.
Yeah, yeah, I do feel for Oscar and for the young lad whose mother nearly killed him with nuts.
If we're not allowed, if she comes back and says we can't share the graphic on social, then
we're going to smash her mug to pieces and then send it to her and she can glue it back together.
You have six pieces for one for everyone in the relationship. Yeah. Okay.
Brilliant. Okay, so there we go. Anonymous polyamory. You can email podcasts at 2johnnies.ie with all your contact details.
Well, Maura, I'm going to start pushing for how it was in the beginning. No mugs for anonymous people. I want to get back to that eventually. Yeah, I'll allow it this week because this is life ruining stuff.
Yeah.
We have her work email and we know what she does. Yeah, so.
We can blackmail you if you don't let us post it. We'll see how we get on by email.
Okay, the weekly roundup.
I want to say welcome back, Maura.
Thank you.
Good to have you back, Maura.
How does it feel?
A bit weird. You're no longer voices in my head. You're like actually in flesh. And then it's kind of like really familiar as well. It's like, yeah, still the same prick.
They're still wankers, yeah.
I know.
Maura, I have to ask you. You were going on a big expedition. Johnny B done the Wicklow Way or some bit of the Wicklow Way last week. You know I'm not into that kind of stuff.
I did a bit of walking, yeah.
And for good reason. Maura, how did your trek? So tell us what you had planned first.
Okay, so the Wicklow Way is 132 kilometres. Johnny B did the last bit of it, which is about 50 kilometres. I didn't do any training for this whatsoever and thought I'd be grand, you know.
Very Irish of you.
Yeah, yeah. Be fine. And yeah, I got to about 80 kilometres. I got to Glendalough, which is where you started, and I could barely walk down the mountain. My feet were so swollen that I had to wear the sandals, but going downhill, my foot was slipping them, so I had to put back on my hiking boots. And Swear to God, it just made me realise I can't handle pain, and if I ever give birth, I will be asking for all the drugs.
Maura, we see you sent a photo into our group WhatsApp.
Oh yeah, sorry
of your,
about
of your feet.
That. Yeah, my manky toe.
The blisters, lad. It's John Kennedy. Yeah. The blisters. They were like €2 coins on your feet, Maura. Blisters.
Yeah, and the skin had torn off. That's enough. Sorry.
The baby toe was in particularly bad shape.
Come on. Yeah, calm down now.
Infected as well. Sorry.
There you go. Anybody eating that?
I just don't want people think I wimped out doing the wig. Yeah. I was so thick of myself. I was like, oh, you're such a pussy. Plus, like, look at my toe.
Had you not got the hiking boots worn in or something?
I did, yeah. But, like, honestly, my feet were, like, filled with just blood. They were all swollen, you know.
So what did you do instead?
I'm going on a little wander around Ireland. So I came home and... Yeah, I've been around Dungarvan, went to your favourite place today, Mahon Falls.
Oh yeah, that's...
Going to Aran Islands.
Anyone listening, Mahon Falls is where couples go to get a photo in front of the waterfall and then break up. Most couples I've seen from the Mahon Falls, it doesn't end well.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
Is that why you refuse to go?
Yeah, that's why I haven't been there in ever.
Is this your theory on sightseeing in general?
Yeah, it's just a bit negative, you know.
Niagara Falls.
Yeah, I
won't. The pyramids.
Any falls.
Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. All them.
I haven't been to any of those.
Cliffs of Moher.
Lanzarote. There you go. It's the secret to a good
the home of true love. Paris, me arse.
Oh, man alive.
Romance on the strip in Lanzarote. Isn't that it?
You were surfing today?
No, I was just in the water. Bobbing around, yeah. Oh, right. Surfing, no.
I've seen the wetsuit. I was like, well, she's got to be surfing.
No, it was cold. I'm not going to go swimming.
Me and Johnny went into the river last week, not a bother, but, and I only had a pair of white GA shorts on.
Well, aren't you a pair of heroes?
Yeah, no, we only went into our waist. It was purely for recovery from hurling transition. And I met like some old boy, and he was like, are you the famous lad? I was like, oh my God, who is this guy? And then like I was like, what's he doing down here? And he was like, I was kayaking.
Yeah,
but he was proper old now.
Was he?
Oh, he was in his 80s. Like.
Yeah, but kayaking's not that intense.
If I went kayaking out, I'd have paying me back.
Well, you've never done it. You wouldn't know.
I have done it. What? Done it in Clara Lara ages ago.
What age were you?
11.
Did you get a pain in your back?
I did. Thought I was out of bad back.
Kayaking is, like, from around here is fairly leisurely.
Yeah, okay.
It's not like you're whitewater rafting. It's not the Olympics.
People who swim in rivers and stuff, they must have fair tough feet. Because I went to walk into a river now down in Care, into the shore, and like we're walking off the little, like, you know, where you drop off your jet ski. What's that called?
A jetty?
Yeah.
A slipway, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
And it sounded like, fuck.
It's so jagged. The floor is so jagged. So I went back and got me flip-flops. I went in my flip-flops. I was like, it couldn't be taking a chance. But it was nice. It was very cold.
Yeah.
It was fair cold now.
Now, that's recovery. Junior hurling style.
There you go. That's what we've been doing this week.
Okay.
The Patreon podcast, as we said, it's staying on Patreon. And last week was number 64. And we discussed how only the coolest people worked in Extravision.
But the people who worked there, they were cool. Like, they just liked hanging around.
They really liked DVDs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like...
I remember going in as a kid and it was my 10th or 11th birthday party or something. And someone working there was obviously cool. And they said, oh yeah, rent this. And they gave us It, the horror film. Michelle and all the boys are in here watching, in this very room.
Sleep for a week.
Watch Petrified. I still haven't watched another horror film.
Oh my God.
Why do people watch horror films?
That's good. Yeah, I don't like them now personally. I'd have to watch them with someone. I wouldn't sit down and watch them on my own.
Petrified.
So during the week on the Extra podcast, we got talking about robberies and scams. We got sent in some correspondence that just sparked this whole debate on robbery, scams, frauds. What have we been involved in?
Yes, but the thing about robbery and like crime in general is in films and all, it looks class.
Oh yes, glorified, lad.
We were talking about that movie, The Town, with Ben Affleck.
Oh, yeah,
it's a good movie.
It is a good movie. Yes, yeah, straight away.
He's robbing banks. He's shooting people. He shoots a security guard and he batters him. And then we're all like, I hope him and Yuan get off. All right.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy in
the
town.
He batters a security guard. What do security guards ever do for you? Why are we rooting for the lad in the balaclava, not the lad on minimum wage?
Because he's just lost in love. He's a little bit lost in life. Now, in fairness, if some lad robbed like 50 quid off me and he was like, I'm down on me, look, I didn't give a shit with you. Give me back that 50. Now.
He'll be down in the hole in a minute now.
But all those crime films do, they make it look sexy.
Yeah, Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, what? Is that about robbery?
I think so.
No, just a lot of lads driving souped up cars.
I know. I think like the Rock and Vin Diesel going around fecking cars.
Is that what it is? Is it?
None of us have seen them.
I remember one Fast and the Furious, they stole like a tanker of diesel or fuel or something.
That's awful. Gosh. Have you ever had a diesel stolen from your yard? They should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah. When I see the oil man coming to put oil in our York, like, I'd be like, oh, I hope he's fucking quick. I don't want anyone to know I'm getting oil. They'll have it flaked.
Yeah.
That is a thing, though. Like, he'd be like, siphoning it out. I don't know how they do it, but like.
You never get a full tank.
Anytime my heating oil goes, I'm like, that's it, Annie. It's been robbed. Yeah. She's like, we have it 7 months. I'll be like, what? There's no way it's gone that quick.
You only got €100 worth.
Yeah, and she's like, but that weekend you were hungover, you left the oil on all weekend. And then I'm like, ah, fuck, it's probably is gone. But I have heard of people robbing oil, yeah. Ocean's 11 and all that. That's like, nobody's robbing that in a suit. Do you know how unconventional a suit is?
What? They're con men, are they?
Yeah, but you're robbing something. Like, it's just not. What if you had to run? Running in a suit's going to be a disaster.
Oh, and suit shoes?
Dead. You break your neck.
Oh, 100%.
Big pointy toes.
You see people on a dance floor at a wedding. Yeah. Like going everywhere.
Plus, anytime I have a suit jacket on, I always feel like it's going to rip in the back.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't even, like, I go full Steve Arnott now, line of duty, when I'm at a wedding. What? I whip off the, I know you've got a wedding tomorrow. I whip off the suit jacket and I just live on the old waistcoat. Be a dancing.
Okay.
I'd never dance in a suit jacket.
I need to get one of those Under Armour things. You know, you can get the ones that keep you cool.
Okay, stick tight under the shirt.
Stick tight. But you see, like the South African players wearing them and all.
Yeah, but they wick the sweat from the body, so it'll soak into the shirt. Oh, so it won't. It won't.
What if I wore it inside out?
Then it would wick the sweat back into your body. Yeah, not what you want either.
Well,
I'll tell you what you do: shave your armpits, bite a bit of Mitchum.
Mitchum.
Mitchum. Mitchum. Stop. It's a roll-on.
Yeah.
Old school.
Stop your sweating.
It really does stop you sweating, honestly.
But like the boys who do country dancing, just bring 5 or 6 shirts.
That's also an option. Yeah, 100%.
Right, let's get back to crime.
Yeah. So shirts is good crack, but so crime's better.
This came about, I want to read out one of these stories we got. But this is from one of our listeners who said, when I was in WIT, I lived with an old scamp, pure chancer, what you call a character. He used to go up to Tesco. Now, we're not condoning this, but yeah, it's a great story. He used to go up to Tesco and buy 40 or 50 euro worth of groceries, pay for it, and keep the receipt. So the following week, he'd go up, walk around Tesco, and he'd put the exact same items in his bags. He'd then walk into the off-license section, which had its own till and a separate exit. He'd buy 6 cans and walk straight out the door. He'd have the receipt if he was ever stopped or questioned. It'd match identically, except for the date. And he reckoned the chances of somebody copping the date were slim. He'd use the same receipt 6 or 7 weeks in a row, and then he'd get a new one. Free food every week, and he could blow all his money on Dutch Gold and Tesco vodka. He was never stopped once, and he did it for 3 years straight.
I mean,
I'm sorry for reading that out, Tesco, but yeah, it's a cracking story.
Other shopping places are available, but honestly, all the stories we got about people robbing from Tesco.
Here's another one.
So if anything, I just urge you, Tesco, probably step up the security.
Oh, wait till you hear this one, Tesco. My mate, on his bunch of keys at 2 keyrings that were the Tesco points cards.
Yeah, the club cards for those of you, yeah.
The little tag you can scan and it would register your points, saving you carrying around the actual card. You with me, yeah?
Yeah.
Instead of his barcode being on the tags, he had sellotaped the barcode of 2 boxes of Tesco cornflakes that cost around 50 pence each. The way the self-service tills work is based on weight. So you can scan any item when you place it in the baggage area. It weighs it, knows it's the right weight, and it's been placed there.
Unexpected item in bagging area.
The cornflakes weighed 500 grams. So he'd scan the keyring instead of the item. And rather than place a 500 gram box of cornflakes in the bagging area, he placed a piece of sirloin steak or a pack of chicken breasts that conveniently also weighed 500 grams, 10 to 15 pounds worth of meat for £1. I haven't the neck to do it. He's got a neck as big as a giraffe. Not condoning it, and other supermarkets are available to steal from. He just loved robbing Tesco's. From Barry, who is either up the north or in England.
The Tesco Chronicles.
Not condoning that as well.
Yeah, but
he's a pure evil.
Yeah, but you have to credit the man has come up with that.
This is where it's
John, is it crime or is it Tesco's job to catch you doing it. No. See, that's so this crime. It is crime. It is crime.
This is where in, see that lad with the key, see that lad with the box of cornflakes, yeah. John? 2 years from now, he's the Joker.
He's going down a slippery slope, this guy.
He is 100% kidnapping busloads of children for ransom.
We have to admire his what's the word?
Ingenuity.
Yes. Endeavor.
Yeah.
There we go.
You're proud of him.
Entrepreneurship.
Entrepreneurship. I mean, like, I put it this way: if this lad's filing your tax return, he's good for you.
Or is he good for himself?
Yeah, but I bet he's got loads of wiggle room. He's like, he's running loads of This lad is shipping money out of Ireland to the Cayman Islands as we speak. This lad is 100%. He's got a tax loophole. He is like,
he's shipping 10 to 15 pounds worth of sterling steak.
Yeah, out of this country,
out to the Cayman Islands.
He's running me. This guy's running me.
What about like if we were in a gang?
Like Ocean's 11. Well, I'll tell you, we wouldn't be wearing suits. We'd be wearing like GA skinny pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, we call ourselves like the Gab Bandits. You know, the Wet Bandits and Home Alone.
Yeah.
So it'd be me and you.
Right, okay, I'm in.
I mean, we'd have to, Mauro would be the brains. Neil would be doing all the high-tech shit. Neil, have you broke in? And then he'd be like, guys, don't rush me.
I need more time.
Takes time, yeah.
I need my tools.
He needs his supplies. And then we're like, Neil, have you? And then he just turns around and says, I've hacked into the mainframe. And then we're in, like.
Okay, what are we stealing?
Fucking like GA gear, jerseys and stuff.
Are we robbing KC Sports?
we're robbing KC Sports. Eddie, if you're listening, we're coming for you. But no, honestly, GA merch used to have, like, in college, you fucking lads, you'd be flaking everything. We wouldn't leave that down.
Oh,
they had the laces of your boots.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's we're just doing petty crime. We're not doing big shit, yeah. Like,
I reckon if I had a nickname, like if I was a gangster, you know, in the Turtles they had the Shredder,
right?
And he had like big knives coming out of his hands,
right?
But like they're lethal.
Yeah, obviously he's make believe as well.
Yeah, but
I mean, that's your first flaw.
We're out on a bit of a limb here, anyway. But what if he goes to pick his nose or something? Take his eye out.
Yeah, Wolverine.
His were retractable.
Okay.
Imagine Wolverine like takes a young ow, one and takes ow, a young one home.
He's always shaving holes in his eyebrows. He's like Dappy from N-Dubs.
Imagine he drops the hand on some young one at a disco. So Shredder, he's cutting people up. All that. I'm not going to do that.
No.
I'll just give you a bollocking.
Right? He's going to give out, okay.
So instead of the Shredder, I'd be the Frazzler, right? So imagine like someone owes me money and I bring him in, tie him to the chair, and then afterwards they come out and they're like, oh man, my head is melted after that. Pure frazzle.
Just going to give him the money.
Yeah. All my henchmen then, you know, they'd threaten people and they'd be like, look, if you don't pay the money, he's going to wreck your head. He's going to ring you every day.
It's the best kind of torture.
Oh, right when you're about to eat your lunch, he's going to ring you every day. You'd just be handier to pay. And then the guards couldn't arrest me because it's not illegal to be wrecking people's heads. Because if it was, obviously, we'd be arrested.
Yeah, we were long ago. Yeah, 100 episodes.
I'd be such a good bad guy. Imagine it's like this week, Batman versus the Frazzler. So he'd like break into my secret lair, which is probably over a pub or something.
Right, okay, and then, yeah. Or the basement, I would say.
And then I'd be like, well, Batlad, right? What's the old crack? And then he's like, you know, stop terrorizing these people. And like 4 hours later, I'm still like, sure what I mean? I'm only having a crack. And then eventually Batman is like, okay, shut up.
I'll leave you alone.
And my gang would be called the Lads. Because I'd love to hear on the news, like, imagine Pascal Sheehy or someone is down and he's like, yes, Judge McMahon sentenced 4 of the lads to 10 years in prison. One member denied being one of the lads. Said he just was one of the boys.
Brilliant.
You know what I mean?
Brilliant, yeah.
But I always wondered, do you know what, say in films when people rob a bank or something?
Yeah.
Nobody minds too much. We reckon the banks have the money. But I don't know, why are they so mean to the staff? Why do they come in? They're always like roaring at this. It's just some lad working in the bank.
Yeah, but you don't want to, you want to lay down the law, right? When you go in, you're like, shut up! And then you don't want someone being like, ah. As soon as they open, you gotta make an example of one of them. Walk in, everybody shut up, and then someone's like, can I Told everyone. You got, you know what I mean? It's like when a manager takes over a team. You got to lay down the law from day one. You know what you're getting yourself in for.
Are you dropping the first bank teller?
Yeah, 100%.
You're not starting at the weekend. Yeah. You're dropped.
No, if he even opens his mouth, he's getting dropped. Like, I'm shooting him, to make an example.
Hang on. Why can't... So let's just say you're working in the bank, right?
Yeah, but...
Now, hang on. But, no, let me finish.
No, I come won't. Because you're on, in. Like... Or, I'm working in the bank. I'm on around 500 quid a week. This lad comes in with a fucking Uzi.
Yeah, and
says,
I'm
says, give me the money. What am I going to be like? No.
Exactly. So what's what I'm saying? There's no point in being mean.
Yeah, just cooperate.
If I come in, I'm like, well, lad, you wouldn't throw us out all the money yet in the bank. Why? I don't need to shout at you.
Yeah, but you just you're pent up, man.
No, I'm not.
You're probably on drugs.
Well, if I... And you'd be like, oh, you know what I mean? You shouldn't be stealing. And I'd be like, look, I've done this other deal and it went wrong and they're going to kill me. And I really need the money.
Okay, so you're a really reasonable gangster.
Yeah. I'm okay. Like, look... It's not for me.
It's not personal.
Yeah. Look, I mean, you're getting taxed to the bollocks, so am I. You know what I mean? I got to hand half this up to the Frazzler. So, do you know what I mean? And then before I go, I'd be like, look, don't set off the alarm until I'm out the gap, will you?
Yeah.
And then he'll be like, he was nice.
Nice old lad, yeah. It's nice being burgled by a nice guy.
There's no need to upset anyone.
Okay. So, we're going to be reasonable gangsters.
I think so.
Fuck, I better bring back all those guns.
And then... Well, obviously, we'd have all the money.
What's your weapon of choice? If you're robbing this bank?
Yeah, something intimidating, like a shotgun.
Okay, mad spread on one of them now.
Oh, yeah, but I'd be accurate enough, like, I have a good enough shot. Okay. I can hit a crow, I can hit a bank
teller. I always laugh at baseball bats. They're a terrible weapon.
Oh, you bring a baseball bat into Ireland, the bank, they'd laugh at you.
Yeah, but I mean, like...
Me mother hit me harder. Come on, will you? Do you want the money or not?
It's too long.
What?
Like a baseball bat's too long to swing.
How long is it?
Good and short. Like a wheel brace. You know one of those yokes you used to lock the car with? Like.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know, they're short and heavy. That's what you're after from a weapon.
Okay.
You want a big... Swinging like... Lads with a golf club.
Yeah.
Swinging for ages. Like.
Well, I don't know if anyone in Ireland has ever robbed a bank with a golf club.
I bet you there's mad enough bastards out there. Lad.
Some lad comes to the bank with a golf club. I'm working there. I'm telling him, get out.
Get out, lad. The golf club's up around the corner. Yeah.
What are you doing here? The back nine?
Yeah.
Get out, you prick.
Okay.
What, imagine, we'd be great gangsters. We'd be like Robin Hood. Wow, there's a 50-foot swimming pool in Palmoca.
Like, yeah, if I robbed that, people would know I robbed it straight away because I'd have to be too flash. I wouldn't be able to hide the money. Like. Do you know what I mean? If someone robs a bank and they're like, oh no, I sat in the money for years and years, I'm like, fuck that.
How do they do that?
10 minutes later, I've got a Range Rover. Driving past the bank, just been like, fucking idiots. I clean G out. How'd you buy the Range Rover? Cash.
I had a good day at the track.
Yeah, use the banknotes. I thought, honestly, I was in the pub one day with a cousin of mine, and we were like, fucking gas, like people robbing stuff. And then, like, we're having a couple of pints in, and he was like, What would we rob? And then, like, I was working in, like, a filling station at the time. And I was like, we'd fucking rob the place I was working in.
Really?
And I swear to God.
Did you think about it?
One pint later, we were like, we'll do that, so Tuesday. That's how easily led and deluded I am.
Pure pub talk.
No, but it was like, he used to collect the money every night at a certain time.
Yeah?
And drop it, like, drive it down to the bank.
Yeah.
And, like, he'd be, like, I'd be in there, and he'd be like, you go home there now, I'm going to just, like, so he'd be on his own.
Yeah.
Primed to be cleaned out, like.
Jesus. Yeah, people take chances, small businesses. Yeah.
I had nothing at the time. I was like, I ain't got nothing to lose. Huh?
Well, you could have gone to prison.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been great to have you, someone like me, in prison. I'd be definitely the chef.
Any more scamming stories, me Johnny?
No, I haven't done much robbing myself. I mean, obviously, I reckon in my lifetime, I've robbed around probably 10 grand's worth of pick and mix.
Why?
Do you remember, like, this should tell you how stupid people were in the late 90s, early noughties.
Well.
Pick and mix. So you go into, like, your local shopping centre, right? And this goes with coleslaw and potato salad as well. Mm. So the thing back in the day was, like, you'd walk into Super Value and they'd have a big mass of, like, fucking Bambouri. Do you know what Bambouri is?
Yeah.
Coleslaw, all that shit in it.
Olives.
Right? Potato salad. Oh, yeah, all that.
Yeah.
And then, right, you put your potato salad in your tub.
Yeah.
Put it up on the scales. Weigh it. Stick the label on it and then pay for it at the counter.
Right.
So why would you fill the tub up with coleslaw, put it on the scales? Like, I used to like put in a scoop of coleslaw, put it on the scales, weigh it, put the sticker on, and then fill it as much as fucking humanly possible with coleslaw. Okay. Like,
You criminal.
It says around 200 grams in it. Like, by the time I get it to the counter, it's at least 4 kilos of coleslaw. And the same with pick and mix. Pick and mix used to be the same. Chocolate peanuts. I would have enough chocolate peanuts. It'd be like I went to the co-op and bought a fucking 20 kg bag of nuts when I brought them home. Walk in, one scoop of chocolate peanuts, and it'd come up like 80 cents. But like, that is way too more expensive. Shove some out. 45 cents. That's a bit more like it. Then get 3 more scoops straight in once I've had the label on it. That everyone done that. He's telling me he didn't done that. That's probably one of the things I've done. I've heard of boys back in Rosscrave when phone boxes were big.
Okay.
Some clever boys used to be able to put a plastic bag inside where you put the money in. Don't ask me how they did. Break open the phone box.
Right.
Put a little bag in and like sellotape it around the where you put the money in. So every time you put money in, it went into this little bag.
Yeah.
And then, like, they just come around every evening, open back up the phone box, take out the bag of money.
Wow.
Yeah, they're just able to, I don't know how they were able to do it, but, like, they'd rob your change and everything. They had to come from both ends.
A couple of pounds.
Yeah, but, I mean, criminals back in the 90s, you know, they were just small fry, looking for small stuff.
Any more good scams?
Do you remember, honestly, I'm not making these up either. These are all true.
Yeah.
Do you remember Lad From Out The Road was done for selling raffle tickets? For a big monster draw.
Quite remember that one.
For, like, fucking... Oh, it's terrible. Some sort of a like charity, like proper, like wholesome charity. And someone was inquiring anyways to like when the draw was on or whatever. And they were like, Jesus, it got a bit, you know, sketchy on it. And but your man had sold like 400 or 500 tickets like at like 5 or 10 or a pop. And yeah, he went to court. He got done for it. God. There was no raffle.
There was no raffle.
There was no raffle. He wasn't like even selling them on behalf of a charity. He was just selling them. For himself.
Was it a made up charity or there was a real charity but he wasn't given the money?
I think there was a charity but he just like he wasn't affiliated to them or hadn't asked any permission. He was just
this is my thing, sorry to dodge you on the side. All the people who message us been like, oh, we're doing a thing, can you share it for us? We don't know ye.
Yeah.
We share it for like registered charities, but if you're like I'm cycling around the town next week.
Anyway,
for whatever,
when,
you know.
When we share it anyway, no one donates.
No one donates anyway.
I've actually checked the stats. I've checked GoFundMe's and been like, okay, right, they've raised 20 grand. I've shared it there now for 2 days running and then I go back and check it and it's the same.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, honestly, just let people know it doesn't work. It's not us being bastards.
More scams.
Come on. You want more? This is like scam, fraud, deception all in one.
Okay.
Used to be a lad in Ross Gray.
Good start to any story.
In a wheelchair.
Okay.
Doing karaoke, right? Sounds a bit far-fetched, doesn't it? Doesn't. He's on the main street, right. So he puts a little bucket out in front of him and you're to donate.
Yeah. Was he busking?
Busking, but he's got a karaoke machine strapped to the side of the wheelchair.
Okay.
Right? Which is like a little ingenious. He's got a little wire out for his microphone. So he's on the street and singing like, purple lights in the canyon. And I heard a story. Now, I haven't seen this firsthand, but I heard a story that a young lad ran and grabbed the box of money that he had in him and he jumped up out of a wheelchair and chased him down the street.
No way!
Honest, I'm not even messing. That could be an old wife, but I heard that's true. But someone else said they seen him in Nina and he was carrying the wheelchair under his arm with the karaoke machine on it. I swear to God.
No!
Yeah, I swear to God.
And did he catch the young for it?
Oh, I don't know. I doubt it. I'd say like sitting in the chair you'd be a bit stiff all day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To get up and sprint after someone.
Is he still there doing it?
I don't know. I haven't been home now.
Let's hope not.
I hope not. I've outed him anyway if he is. So got to be careful with that. No, but working in retail, I've come across some kleptomaniacs.
Really?
Yeah. And like, not like they're well established, like well to do people.
They didn't strike you as being like scumbags.
No. You wouldn't like some people, and this is bad. And like, look, Ireland's guilty of this at time is like judging a book by its cover. Someone comes in, looks a certain way, talks a certain way, you'd be like, whoa, I'm following them. Mm.
Yeah.
But like, it's the ones who are well to do and family women and or family men as well, who are robbing you blind. Like, I've seen women fill a trolley. And like, there was 2 entrances to the shopping centre, to the shopping fucking
unnamed location.
Yeah, I don't want to say where it is. Front entrance off the main street, one out the back to the car park, and a woman just come in, do her full shopping, like big massive trolley full to the gills, and then just stroll out the back door. Not a bother. Cool as a breeze. They let her do it like 5 weeks in a row, and then they were like, okay. They did, so they went. They done it the first day. We're like, are we right? Yes, 100%. checked like nearly added up how much she would have got.
Yeah.
Done it the next 5 or 6 weeks, then slapped her to the bill and was like, you can pay us that there now whenever you want.
No way. And did she?
No, I don't think she ever went back. I don't know what the crack was. But I had a woman, a woman in town.
Wait, how did they catch her? Someone must have saw
it. Someone just snagged it one day and then they went back and checked the cameras. She's doing it at the same time every week. Regular as clockwork.
What? And you reckon like they had money?
Oh yeah, 100%. 100%.
She wasn't going hungry and needed this now.
No. Just, I think someone said she was a kleptomaniac, yeah. Because another woman who just robbed meat every week. And she was like a kleptomaniac because like they pulled her in or whatever and her husband came down and was like, yeah, look, she's a kleptomaniac. Like, she's been known to do it in different shops. So I don't know what the buzz is like when they get it. I think like we have a bit of information on kleptomaniac, not to be completely going off site. I still got more scams.
I looked that up. You get your next scam ready. Okay.
Yeah, kleptomania is the inability to resist the urge to steal items, usually for reasons other than personal use or financial gain. Many psychoanalytic theorists suggest that kleptomania is a person's attempt to obtain symbolic compensation for an actual or anticipated loss. So they reckon it's deep-seated and it's an actual disorder.
But they reckon it is treatable.
It's treatable with anxiety, depression medication and or psychotherapy such as cognitive behavior, CBT. Like. Mad.
We'll be mad.
But I suppose you get such a rush off. So maybe that's why they do it. Like, I think that's... Mm. That's the story. Obviously, like, robbing meat is...
Hang on, Maury, you're still eating?
No. I, like...
Oh, yeah, think about that.
No, I would never steal anything from outside of the family home, but I would, like, if there was pocket, if there was change left on the counter, it was mine, so...
Well, still?
No.
As
like,
a kid?
Yeah. I feel sorry for children nowadays, like, you know, because, like, everybody uses cards, so there's no change for them to rob. So, but yeah, I would take a commission as well. If I was sent to the shop, I would, you know, keep the big coins. And
you're pure evil. You
robbing your family isn't really robbing, though. It's borrowing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you ever witness an actual robbery? Like I've witnessed them now in like, you know, shops or whatever
you
like
mean,
that.
Bar the 1997 All Ireland.
that's daylight robbery.
2009.
I've seen people like, you know, rob stuff out of shops, giving chase a few times because I've worked in shops a lot.
Did you chase them?
Oh yeah, fucking chasing. They're wanting the butcher outfit and all. It's fairly intimidating. You see a 6 foot butcher coming with you. I left the knife behind now. You know, you don't listen. Nobody want no like.
Did you catch him?
No, 6 foot. I didn't 6 foot and overweight. Isn't you know?
Did you give him a good chase now?
Yeah, I was going to come back your bollocks. Like,
how far did you chase him?
Out of the car park and down nearly to the bridge.
That's not that far.
It's fucking 150 meters. I'd say.
The bridge is right at the shop.
Yeah, but like he probably robbed a fucking magazine. Like, I'm not sure. Could have, and it was actually a sandwich, I think. But I just wanted to. I was so bored. Like, even if the boss was like, keep an eye on that person, I'd be like, yes. Yes, I'd be out from behind the counter then, like, and they'd like turn, and I'd be like, just
staring them over,
like, and then they'd know I'm following them, like, yeah. You know, so just put them off the scent, like, scared them a bit. But I witnessed an actual real robbery.
Well,
I was around 11, and we used to live in town, and we lived across from a pub in Roscrea, and I was like sitting down doing my homework one day, and a fella pulled up in a white van, and he used to deliver like cigarettes into. He used to fill the fag machine in the pub.
Okay.
Cigarettes. So he pulled up in the van or whatever, and I was like, not minding. I was like, doing my homework. I looked up and was like, oh, he's left the van now. Boom. He used to keep all the fags in black bags. So he took out a bag. He obviously had it ready for the pub, knew what they needed.
Small bit dodgy.
Went in. And then two lads came up in balaclavas, bang, smashed the back window of the van, and fucking took like whatever, two black bags each, and sprinted off down the road. And I was like sitting there for a while, and then like, never said anything. And then my mother was like, you all right? I was like, yeah, I'm grand. And then like your man from the pub was like, jeez, you didn't see Aunt Trish, did you? Like,
yeah.
And the mother was like, no, did you see Aunt? And I was like, no. Even as an 11-year-old, I knew snitches get stitches.
Rooting for the bad guy.
I wasn't rooting for the bad guy, but I was petrified that like they had seen me and they'd come back and get me. Like, I was all this elaborate stuff going on in my 11-year-old mind.
Yeah.
But I was petrified.
So did you ever tell your mother?
Well, she listened now, she'll know.
You knew.
I didn't know who they were. They were in balaclavas.
What were they dressed like?
All in black.
Really?
Yeah. Proper, like. Yeah,
like tracksuits?
Yeah, like tracksuit and then, like, yeah, black jackets, like.
But this was during the day?
Yeah, it's like, this is like four, half four in the day.
So all in black isn't much of an advantage, really.
No, but I guess, like, you know, if you're going GA, you put on GA clothes. If you're going robbing, you're going to put on your robbery clothes, aren't you? You want to at least.
They didn't have black and white stripes on them.
No, it didn't have Adidas. It was pretty black. It was like, okay. They must have went to like a robbery store and just been like, give us your best robber's outfit.
What else you got? This is great.
I've heard of a very well known Irish celeb back from yesteryear, let's say.
Mm.
Female, am I all right in saying that? I'm not giving that in a way there.
No, this is good. Oh, I remember this.
So her story was that she'd go and go to a random garage or whatever, and everyone knew her at the time.
Mm.
And she would be like, could I test drive a car? And they'd be like, yeah, absolutely, Jesus. Like, you're not sure you're whatever.
Herself,
like, yeah, Jesus, which one do you want to test drive? And then she'd take a car. And then 3 days would pass, no sign of her bringing. And then, like, they'd find the car in, like, whatever location. Like, if, say, she picked it up in Dublin, drove to Cork, and was like, and on her holidays. And they'd be like, what's the story? And she'd be like, oh, sure, I thought you just let me hold on to it. She's basically just robbing cars, taking them for as long as she wanted. She'd tell them she's going for a test drive, like, and be back in a few minutes. And 3 days later, they're, like, ringing the cops, being like, where's the car?
Oh, my God.
This happened several times.
Like, it's been well known to happen several times.
Yeah.
So, me and Johnny haven't resorted to that yet. But
definitely, I reckon the last person they'd suspect is somebody famous.
Yeah, that's it, like.
Yeah.
So, it's chancy. And then lastly, Johnny, just two more. Two scams we were involved in.
Well,
one I got us involved in. One you done all by yourself.
Well,
we'll start with the one you done. Do you remember in Temple Bar when you were fully convinced that you could hang on a bar? Like an actual, so it's one of these iron bar things.
Yeah.
It's like a hanging tough thing, Ireland's Fittest Family. And you have to hang for 100 seconds. And of course, Johnny, after 8 pints of Guinness and a chicken sandwich, was fully convinced, I'll do that. Was it like a tenner for a go? And then if you stayed on for 100 seconds, you won 100 quid or something?
Something like that, yeah.
How'd it go?
Not great, but there's a reason why it didn't go that great. And yeah, it's not the 8 pints I had.
The bar moves.
Okay.
So they don't tell you that. They just say, if you hang on the bar for 100 seconds...
Yeah.
And then, like, the bar starts to slowly move. So
it rotates. Like.
Yeah, it rotates. So they screw you. And then also I've heard that a lot of lads would grease the bar.
Okay.
And then I watched on Facebook. You know, I'm some man to watch, like, Facebook videos, go down rabbit holes of lads fighting and all that.
Yeah, you love watching lads
fighting. Big fight. I don't know what city it was in, but it was in Europe, anyway, Central Europe. And just one of these bars. And this lad is fucking just muscle, like, animal fit lad, gets up and he's just about to hit the 100 seconds and your man pulls his pants down. So he obviously lets go. Because there's a big crowd there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then your man, like the lad who runs it, tries to pull his pants down. And then he gets off and flogs your man then.
Does he?
Yeah, yeah. But he still doesn't get his money because he didn't hang on for 100 seconds.
Oh, come on.
So that's how they scam you. They'll just put you off and stuff like that. So that was a scam you were involved. Secondly, the time I got 3 grand taken out of a business account.
Yeah.
Not me brightest day. Not was I freaking out, Johnny, on a scale of 1 to 10? Man. Yeah. Fucking demented.
What happened?
Got a text message from like AIB or whoever. And it was like legit. It was like, oh, like there's been fraudulent activity on your account. But here's the thing. This is how good these frauds are.
Mm-hmm.
My previous message from AIB was like a verification code for something I bought online.
Yeah.
So the text was from AIB's number.
Yeah, but like your bank doesn't text you about fraud. They call you or they, you know.
Yeah, they never text.
Yeah. But You're not hearing what I'm saying here.
How did it come from the same number?
Got the verification code. And then the next...
Same thing happened to me with DHL. Like, I got messages from DHL about deliveries.
So, anyway. And I was like, oh, shit. And then I went, like, I clicked into the message and it brought me straight to the AIB online banking. And I was like, oh, this is online banking. Okay. And then I entered in our code and the whole lot.
Trying to log in.
Yeah. But they'd actually set up a complete mirror of AIB banking. How long does it take these lads to do that? Also, Neil, can you do that? I know you're good on computers.
I can't help but feel they're wasting their lives.
Honestly, the text from the same number, and then obviously I put in the details, and then they whipped out 3 grand straight away, and then they tried to take out another 6 or something. I don't think we had it in it. But the bank were like, oh yeah, look, the 6 didn't come out, and the 3 came out, and I was like, sweat, I was free. I was like into him. I was like, ah, oh my God, I can't believe this. Yeah, we got it back. Bank gave it back. So sure, it was their fault. It came off their number.
Okay.
So now, in fairness to AIB, not just because we've done work with them, but they were grand to give us back the money straight away.
Yeah.
But I was up the walls.
I know, I have got the same thing, DHL saying, oh, you have to pay us €1.99 for a delivery. And I'm just like, no, scam. I know I've no online shopping coming.
Yeah. So.
I don't trust anything that you're text or emailed.
I also done the DHL one. So. A week after getting scammed. No way. Yeah, and I had to like cancel my card. Like they didn't take it, but I had to cancel my card and get a new card. So annoying. You get a new card, you have to fucking ring everyone, all your direct debits. Heartbreaking stuff. But that's it from the Johnny Bank, the Johnny Smacks memory bank. That's all. A lot of stuff there to digest.
Some of our listeners who will remember, there was a woman on the Keys in Dublin who, I'd be walking down the street and this woman who's about mid-40s wearing like a rain jacket, glasses, American accent, would come up and be like, I'm a tourist. I've been mugged. Oh my God. I just need some more. I'm in really stuck like. And so I got home and I was like, jeez, what's the crack? What are you going to do? And she's like, oh, I need to make a phone call to the embassy or whatever. And I was like, oh yeah, there's 50 pence to make a phone call. Like,
of course, he wasn't using his credit. Have you heard how expensive it is to ring the embassy? So you gave her 50 pence or cent, whatever.
That's what she was looking for. And then I was telling one of the boys and he's like, she's there every day.
Get 50 pence off everyone.
Yeah. Just walk up and down the Keys. Perfect American accent. Wow. She looked like a tourist.
Yeah.
Nobody in Ireland wears those jackets.
Because I thought you were going to be like, I gave her my phone and then she like got all my credit card details off my phone. I've heard of people doing that.
Yeah, it's disgusting. No. I just gave her, I looking back, you know, I should have like, whatever, gave her the price of a sandwich or something, but no.
Or a headbutt. either or. Just before we finish, Mara, I mean, are you still at the ATM robberies or have you completely given that up now? True luck.
Yeah, I've given it up. Okay. Can I just say the people that did actually do that, I think, were gosh. So, I think they were gosh because they bought like big Jeeps with cash.
See, this is my problem. That's why I'm not out robbing banks.
You gotta watch Goodfellas. Yeah. De Niro goes around battering everyone who buys fancy stuff.
There you go.
There you go.
I'll keep it on the lowdown. Right, okay. We've got so much more that we can get through in this. Maybe we'll do an extra pod or something like that. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff. But we want to open it up to listeners.
Yes. Send us in.
Biggest scams. Like, even that, we'll take that local stuff, ticket selling, all that kind of stuff. We want to take it in. Scams, robberies. What have you robbed? What has been robbed from you? Give it all into us. And to people out there, be safe. And don't steal. It's bad.
And we won't pass any alleged crimes on, details of any alleged crimes on to An Garda Síochána. Kind of,
yeah.
This isn't Crime Call.
We can, we're not going to be on next week going, yeah, look, so it was a lemon coloured cow driving down the main street.
I'm saying now though, if you're sending in your scams, mugs only if you put your name to it.
Yeah.
You might get read out if you're funny.
Yeah.
But
we're looking for legit names to this one. So there you go. That's your job for next week. That's your homework. Women, I am up like a lurcher looking at a hare. It's time for Noel Furlong and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News! Maureen. How are you doing?
I'm good, Noel. How are you?
And here you are, back in my life. Would you drink a pint?
I would if I got it.
Hey! Yes!
Boo!
Harry Fong was in.
He was in last week in your absence.
I got the jab. I got the vaccine.
The second one?
Yeah, I got one knee charm. Okay. But I said to him, how is it you're giving the same amount to everyone? Do you know what I mean? Well, like, I have a big frame.
Well, you reckon you should get more vaccine?
Than a handy fella. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Like the Cake O'Brien. He got 4 or 5 of them. Yeah. You can put me, big man.
Yeah, it's big.
He's big unit.
Yeah, he's a big man. Yeah.
What I mean, you can put it on toast. He'd take him on. The little needle. You want the fucking tube of grip fill for him? What? The Fong looked after you, alright, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He's.
He was round, was he?
He was round, yeah, for once.
Okay, good. A bit of news.
Please.
Bit of news. This, a story from Ireland for once.
Wow.
A sports equipment company has unfairly dismissed a female employee, ruled the Work Relations Commission. Working with your relations can be hard. So I'm glad there's some sort of commission for it. But I got John Paul to wire a shed one time. I built a shed for Donovan. I got him to wire it. And now he's on to me every 6 months looking to be paid. It's at least twice a year.
Who's not paying him?
He's hounding me. What's the few bar between family? He got his experience.
Right.
He got a bit of experience. Like, that's invaluable. You know what I mean? What about the time I paid for a school uniform? Well, 3 years later, he was going out of it.
Yeah.
Where's my money? I said it then. There's no point in me buying new clothes until they've stopped growing. It's a pure waste of money. Padraig was the eldest. He got clothes. He grew out of them, passed them down to Tomás. He grew out of them, passed them down to Geraldine. She grew out of them, passed them down to JP, who'd be the youngest, right? When Padraig got bigger, he got my owl clothes.
Okay, all right.
Right? I'm the biggest, and I'm their father. And they weren't always into my style. Geraldine... Because she ended up making her debs in a suit jacket. I think I made the money buying dresses. And young McCormick would be pulling out of her all night. She brought that simpleton.
Oh, did she?
I told her, if she takes off the jacket for 1 minute, I'll know. The fellas could be looking at her, ain't they?
Yeah, I'm sure that's...
And that young fella. Look, I gave him a hiding just to be sure. Before and after. I had 14 brothers.
Yeah.
Every piece of clothing was handed down. By the time I got to the young fella, you know what I mean? Your underpants would have more holes than the plot of Fair City. But the Work Relations Commission heard that the woman, she was engaged to be married to the company director. And they broke up by mutual consent. I never believed this.
No.
Well, like every red card I got from a ref. Noel left the field by mutual consent. And the next day in work, he told her, hand in the P45, don't come back. Ooh. And they ruled that she was unfairly dismissed and they awarded her 4,500 grand euro. Right?
Grand euro, yeah.
4,500 grand money she got.
Wow.
So watch out working with people
your relations.
You're involved with. Okay. Maureen. Are you looking at me like that now? Because you remember the band? Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the painter. Dan does a lovely version of You Can Grow Your Own Hay. You know the song.
I think it's going so your own way.
Some of them were going out with each other.
Oh, yes.
But then they broke up. And fair fuck, they kept the band going.
Yeah, that's not
They kept
not
the
easy.
Old band going. So they're on the road, like, you've the band gotten the whole lot, you know, you want to keep the gigs booked and you want to get the public and down, like, and...
Poor, I don't think Fleetwood Mac were playing in pubs.
I know, sure. They probably doing dance halls, I suppose. Oh. Yeah, you're spot on again, young for the vibe. Yeah. And imagine, like, on the bend with one and she comes in. Oh, I've got a new song. It's called My Ex Boyfriend Has Lice and a Narrow Mickey. You know what I mean? Must have been tough, like.
Must have been tough on it.
Keeping the band going. Yeah, but they never ended up in the Work Relations Committee, did they?
No, they kept it out.
Now, local news.
Oh, lovely.
The pubs are back open.
They're back.
They're back. Now, the Shamrock doesn't have a beer garden.
No.
As he said to me, when we were young, we used to eat inside and shite outside. Now people want to eat their dinner out in the yard and come into the pub to shit. Where does it end?
Crazy.
I couldn't argue with his logic. So, we're now in the Bridge Bar. They have a beer garden.
Well.
Beer garden. It's where they were growing the fucking thing. It's a yard full of garden furniture.
Did you have a drink?
Did I have a drink? they got a new bench. And I said to him, hey, Noel, don't sit in the bench.
Ever.
Even in mass, I stand. Right? All the regulars were back. Jimmy the Rake was in. I heard they froze him.
What?
In a Cairo chamber. And then when the pub reopened, they defrosted him. I heard that.
Did you?
That's the new thing now.
Who told you that?
That's just all the talk. The bucket was in. You know the bucket?
Yeah.
You'd be always falling around the pub. You couldn't get to the end of that fella. When the pub closed, didn't he sober up?
Jesus.
And he went off and became a doctor.
The drink was holding him back.
Yeah. Now, how he done it in a year and a half, I don't know.
That's crazy.
But I heard that.
You sure he's a doctor?
Oh, in fact, it was all the talk at the pub.
Right.
He's Dr. Bucket now.
Okay, doctor.
I don't know his real name. He's Clem or something.
Clem?
They were all there. Magpie Murray. Badger Buckley. Foxy Foley. Froggy Fahey. Sharky Sheehan. Jack Dar Johnson. Willie Wagtail. The Carter Twins. No relation. They were all there, by star-studded lineup.
Wow.
The Owl was there.
Was he?
And do you know the Cock Kelly?
Yeah.
You know the Cock Kelly with the walk on him?
Yeah.
And do you know the Hedgehog?
Who's that?
Oh, he's some prick. Do you know Fat Burns?
Who's that?
You just throw it in the fire and it'll burn away.
Hey, classic. Ha? Classic. Are you writing your own gags?
Ha? 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 The Relic was there, of course.
Who's that?
Do you know the owl, they call him the Relic. He's always the bear.
Oh.
He served his suspension. He was barred for 2 years for scour talk. Tansy said to him, he said, Relic, if you don't stop talking about airplanes, I'm going to bar you. Throw him out in his arse. First time leaving the pub in years. Last time they renovated it, they just painted around him. They painted the wall around the man. They couldn't get away from the bar.
Oh, shit.
I've never even seen him get up to go to the toilet.
The Relic?
Yeah, I think he drinks it and then it just comes out his mouth in the form of pure sewer talk. A star-studded lineup.
Unbelievable.
But I'm delighted that the pubs are back because people were drinking at home and drinking too much and there were no all measures or people getting carried away. And I'm not surprised to hear that the HSE fell victim to a terrible cider attack. Yes. It appears Ireland's Health Service have gotten a bad dose of some sort of homemade cider.
I think it was the cyber.
In a vicious cider attack. Which has led to many people been unable to use their computers for weeks. Now, I don't know, was it headaches or blurred vision or just a general sense of being fucked that has led to this. But I'm glad that the pubs are back open.
Brilliant, brilliant. I think it was a cyber
but
attack.
But definitely a bad cider attack can be devastating.
I think.
Okay.
Cyber.
So just watch yourselves now.
Yeah.
I know, I don't drink that stuff.
Okay. Thanks a million.
Is that what they call it? A large bottle of cyber. Small glass with ice.
Get out of here, yeah.
That's the news. Good luck.
Thanks. She's in studio, so we better be on our best behaviour. It's definitely harder to get away with things, Mara, when you're right here. But what is your mystery topic this week?
My mystery topic is breastfeeding. So if anybody knows my family, could they please not mention to them that I mentioned this story in the podcast?
If anybody really knows us, we apologise.
Okay, so a cousin of mine is breastfeeding her 2-year-old. And my aunt happened to mention to my dad about this and they both were in agreement that it was very weird that, you know, for a child of that age to be breastfed. And then dad said it.
What age is the child?
2.
Are they still using months now? Is it like just gone 2 or
just gone 2. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, my dad happened to mention this to my sister who's currently breastfeeding her 6-month-old. Fia, who is just doty. And Dad was saying, oh, just, that's very weird. And then my sister was like, well, I'm planning on feeding Fia until she's 2 years old at least as well. So
what does Google say?
So what they say is that, yeah, breastfeeding up until 2, like the child is still getting nutrients that way. Like definitely like the first 6 months, like, a child doesn't eat any solids, so that's why they're usually either solely on formula or solely on breast milk. So, and then after that 6 months, you start introduce solids, and then when they get to 2-year-old, they can get all the nutrients that they need from solid foods.
So you're just breastfeeding for the crack?
Yeah, for comfort. Some children like a little bit of a feed before they go to sleep. So I'm wondering, like, what do you think of feeding older breastfeeding children like that? Would you be uncomfortable now if somebody whipped out the boob to feed their 2-year-old?
How big is a 2-year-old?
Fuck it, they're walking, ain't you? They're well walking.
What age you start walking?
You have 14 months, you'd be walking, would you?
Yeah, yeah.
You'd be almost talking at 2. Would you titty.
Would you have a word at 2? Would you have a couple of words?
What's, honestly, no. What? I know, like, we're going Googling, but, like, what's the average that...
You wean them off.
Yeah, but, like, you know, if you start breastfeeding, is it, like, 3 months or 6 months is the norm? Or?
I think usually women try and feed for a couple of weeks. Like, I have friends who've done it for eight months. Yeah. I have friends who've done it for 12 weeks. You know, it just depends on how much pain your nipples can take, you know.
So I heard that.
It is sore, yeah.
Tough on the nipple.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're putting on cream and all to try and soften them up and all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And then the baby gets teeth as well, so, yeah.
Did you ask any of the people involved as to why?
They feel like... The way that I've... One friend who... She fed her baby until he was 18 months and then she got pregnant again and somehow the child just became not interested in breastfeeding anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. So they...
Tits were gone haywire, sure, from the pregnancy. The young lad's like, God's sake, mammy.
The milk's gone bad.
Yeah, that shit out of my mouth.
That's what she reckoned, that her milk changed and he was just like, no, 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 no.
She was already having more.
Taste the daddy off your milk. So, but why would you... put yourself through it would be my question. It sounds
it's such a personal, intimate thing that they, you know, like they feel really strongly connected with their baby and stuff like that. But like for me, I would like feel weird that they might remember being breastfed. Like, you know, they'd have memories later on of their life. Like I said it to my dad. We're like at Christmas dinner. We're just chatting. This is like not during the meal or anything like that. It was later on having the chats and we were saying about my sister breastfeeding. And I said to my dad, I was like, was I ever breastfed? And then my brother freaked out. He's like, you can't be talking about stuff like that, you know. So, yeah. You know, I think my mother breastfeed tried with me. And then the other ones, she was just like, no, fuck you. battle.
I wasn't breastfed. And I turned out fine. Ish.
I don't think your issues are down to not being breastfed. Do you know what I mean? Did you ever ask your mum? She's...
No, it just wasn't a go back then, really.
No, it was like it's really hard. The reason I talk about this is because one of my friends was breastfeeding in public. This is about 2 years ago. And this old lady came up to her and was like, she was sitting in Starbucks feeding her baby. My words, this old lady came up to her and was like, you know, there's private rooms now where you can go down and do that in mother care. Like, she was disgusted. She's an old lady. And my friend got really mad. It's like, well, do you know where you can go? You can go to a retirement home.
I've seen, like, you know, any sister or whatever, like, would be, like, breastfeeding. But I wouldn't go into the room, like.
No.
And not and that's not how, like, me being ignorant, being like, ah, oh, fucking breastfeeding. Like, I don't believe in it. Like, I do. Like, I totally get it. It's totally natural and it's good for the baby or whatever. But, I would, you know, respect her. Just leave her off there, like, you know, do the breastfeeding.
Yeah, like some women like would definitely want their privacy.
Also, older men are like, ah, oh, tits. I mean, I was at a wedding once where like a woman was going up to get communion and had like the child latched on.
Yeah,
I was just like, all the outlaws were.
She walked up.
Yeah, body of Christ. She obviously to get them out. Like, she was holding on to the baba.
We should not get someone to get one for her.
Are you allowed to do that?
Oh, you could say it to the priest, Mrs. Breastfeeding, throw me a spare one.
Second one there.
One in the hand.
Thanks, Father.
Yeah, but sure, why can't she go up? Like, sure, like, what's the. What, like,
no, of course she can if she wants, but you'd think she'd be trying to.
It'd just be practical.
I remember I was at Gay Pride in Barcelona and, like, everybody was there drinking. This woman was breastfeeding away, no bother. Like, you know, and she had her little string vest on, top down. Nobody give a damn. It's Ireland, we're just very weird about breastfeeding. And Ireland has actually one of the lowest breastfeeding rates in the world. Like, so.
It is sore. I've chatted to, I think we'd done a topic on breastfeeding before or something like that. And I definitely talked to a couple of women who were breastfeeding at the time. And they were like, yeah, look, it's great and it's healthy for the baby, but it's fucking sore.
Yeah.
And at 2 years old, they have a fair set of chompers on them.
Yeah.
And they can talk and walk. I don't know. It's.
Yeah.
You don't want them soft either. Fucking, you know, fuck them off in the bottles, harden them up. Like.
What age you start drinking tea?
But yeah, when I'm two, I want the young lad going around with a bottle, a young one going around with a bottle of tea in one hand and like a teddy along the floor. And he's just walking around, just been like, fucking pawn Teletubbies or something, you know. And he's just there slugging out a bottle of tea. I mean, I don't want to be like mammy boobies, like
big sovereign ring on them.
They're mine. I could barely touch them for 9 months when you were fucking stewing in there.
What does her partner think, like the man in the relationship? But no, he gets less.
Or a woman, yeah.
But like, does he not want to break the connection with the baby and reestablish his own connection?
I don't know. But yeah, actually,
not to make it sound like internet, but yeah. You know.
Also, you can't drink when you're breastfeeding
at all. Yeah.
No, very little, I think.
You can drink, but then you have to, like, for 12 hours, you have to get rid of all the milk. So, like,
it's like laving off the first pint in the cake.
Yeah, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I suppose a lot of people,
yeah,
you know, two years of.
Yeah, I just think that feeding, I'd love to hear from people who are feeding their children.
Yeah, let's open it up, yeah.
When they're like 5 or 6 years old, because, like, you know, that's.
Does that go on?
I draw the line at that now.
Yeah, that does go on, yeah.
Did you ever see the film Grown Ups? Mm. Where they're like, what age is he? Like, he's just 48 months. And he's like over, like, standing up. He can reach the mother's tit standing up. That's when you know it's probably he's too old.
Just bring a packed lunch.
Yeah, a couple of Lunchables.
A mate of ours seen a woman on Tinder, and one of her Tinder biopics was her breastfeeding in a church.
Well, right. What's the meaning behind that? Is it like?
Well, Pope Francis said that to women that, like, he was doing some mass in the Sistine Chapel, and he was just like, just so you know, like, interrupt the mass. Breastfeed away there now if you want to, so, and then continued on with the mass. So he didn't say, I'm paraphrasing, that you know.
But he wouldn't get much tit action anyway.
Nobody, you wouldn't be cock blocking him now. Tier one, why did she have it in her one of her Tinder pics?
Probably to show she's got a child, I suppose.
Yeah. Maybe she looks well in that picture.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe she just wants to make it clear what her attitudes are and her boundaries, and that she's quite liberal and comfortable, and she's looking for a fella who's along those lines. Like, it's interesting from a man's perspective, like, would he get jealous now of the child being breastfed and be like, you know, come on.
He'd be latching on the church as well. push over. That's my milk too. Yeah, I don't know.
But sure, after you have the baby and all, I suppose she can't be riding for a while anyway, if they leave her alone for a while.
I think 6 weeks.
He'd be up on the table, right? It's an operating theatre. It's not an operating theatre, wherever they have kids, I don't know.
Burton babies.
Baby wards. I don't know what my thoughts are on it. I can see, like, obviously, we know the huge benefits of breastfeeding, as in nutrients and the bond with your baby, but at two, is it a bit old? Sure, for your own old sanity and to go out and enjoy yourself and whatever, and not. Yeah. Because, like, if you're breastfeeding, like, you're expressing milk all the time if you're not there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you want a few hours away. Whereas, like, your grandparents, you'd be like, here, there's four bottles I made up of earlier on. Fucking.
Yeah. See, with a 2-year-old, they wouldn't be drinking as much as a newborn because they're getting solid food. So they'd be getting, they might be only drinking 2 or 3 times a day. Like,
you're sure that child wasn't exclusively on the tit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they wouldn't be, not at 2 years of age. No, they'd be like, public health nurse to be on to you if you're just still feeding, breastfeeding with
and
that
the whole soothing element is like, I don't know, I'd be stinging them with nettle and stuff just to make sure they're tough, and you know you want comfort, I'll get you a blanket. You know what I mean? Like, you can have a soft blanket or, like, you know, a teddy that you really like.
Okay.
But not Mammy's boobies.
One teddy.
One teddy. Pick very carefully.
We're not the Care Bears here. You get a little horse and that's it.
I'll tell you what, we can't answer this because we're not even skilled enough. But
I'm not even going to try breastfeeding. Yeah,
but I'm happy enough to open this to listeners and we can get some feedback on it next week, because, you know, I guess people who are at it probably know better than the three of us and Neil, who've never breastfed. Are you breastfed? You're very tall. You're definitely breastfed. Yeah, fucking. See, you've that height. You know what I mean? That's stand to you, all those nutrients. Thanks, Mara. I enjoyed that one.
You're welcome.
Don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. You can get in touch, podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie is our email. You can get us on Instagram @thetwojohnnies. And don't forget to follow us on Spotify. Click that, subscribe, and then every time a podcast goes up, you'll get a little notification to say that it's there and it's ready to be consumed.
You'll never miss out.
You'll never miss out, lad.
It's like your mother calling you for dinner.
You only have to press one button.
Yeah, podcast ready.
Yeah, it's not that hard, you know what I mean? Now, as usual, we're going to end the podcast with our Yurts and Dirts of the Week. Johnny B, what have you got? What's on your plate? It's on your mind, John.
What's on my mind, John? Well, John, a couple of things. If anybody wants to have nightmares, Google the Australian mice plague.
It's fair. Disgusting.
Australia's had a bit of a drought.
Yep.
Bad rain for a couple of years. They're having a bit of a bumper harvest this year. Conditions are ripe, as the unbelievables say. for the black beetle. Conditions are ripe. And out in the outback on the farms, there's just mice everywhere. And I mean millions. Like the floor is moving. It's insane. But this is partly as well from, you know what I mean? Humans, we take over everything. And like, so in Australia, obviously.
You can't blame the humans for this now. The mice are shagging a lot.
Loss of habitat and stuff. A small bit.
Some amount of mice left.
Yeah, there's less snakes though. And less like, you know what I mean? What else would be eating?
Rats.
Dingoes and
old stuff like that. Yeah.
Foxes, whatever they be eating, is a small bit. But that's what they're all saying. I was watching a lot of videos about it, and they're all saying in a couple of years, like, because of the drought as well, the predators were fucked.
I watched one news piece on it, and it was like the mice burnt a house down. Now, like, you know, they didn't go out with fucking paraffin oil.
The intention.
Burning, you know what I mean? But they ate through, like, a load of cables that led to a fire. And, like, people's houses are burning down. People's houses are infested.
They're living a nightmare.
I was watching this morning, and there was a woman on, and she was like, yeah, the smell outside my house is just disgusting because I'm leaving down poison to kill the mice. And they're just dying, and then they're just, like, stenching out. She's like, there's so many of them dead outside my house that I can't even get rid of them.
They're sweeping them up like gravel.
Yeah.
Jesus. So my heart goes out to all the Australian farmers out there dealing with that.
Yeah, tough.
And just a quick one as well. A lot of people have been on to us about the Micah thing up in Donegal and Sligo Mayo.
Yeah, I've got a couple of messages about that.
Yeah, so at first when I heard about it, I have to be honest, I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah, I still don't, but you're going to educate me.
I am, in a nutshell, because people were tagging us being like, how long can you ignore this? And I was like, lads, I'm so sorry. I have no idea what is happening here.
Yeah.
So back in the boom, a lot of houses were built.
Yeah, trun up.
Some corners were cut.
Trun up, yeah.
And Micah is, so the blocks basically are shite.
Okay, they're not up to standard, standard.
The blocks are falling apart and people's houses are absolutely falling apart. They tried, like, you know, patching the cracks and replastering and all this. People's houses are like
crumbling.
Like thousands of houses up around Donegal, Sligo, Mayo are falling down. It's really dangerous. So they're onto the government. They want the money to rebuild new houses. Could be great. If you gave them the money, there could be a whole new boom, building boom.
Yeah.
To get the economy going up there. But heart goes out to anyone involved. Absolute disaster. As well, if you want to just type that into your Google, Micah, M-I-C-A.
I'll start with a dirt.
Well.
Shit slitters.
Infestation.
There's been an absolute infestation of companies doing shit slitters.
In Ireland.
So, as me and Johnny B well know, there's people out there that you can get slitters off for around €2 slitter, €1.50 if you really want to go down. They're not in this country. We don't know how they make them, but they can turn up and they can get the official badge, the GA badge on them to say that they're legit. Yeah.
Official cool. Yeah.
The same place that a lot of people listening would buy their fake jerseys and such things on the internet, right? I'm not going to name the company, a lot of them out there. But there's a lot of like businesses around Ireland now selling those slitters. And I mean,
what makes a slitter bad? Sorry, like
it's like, so if it's made in the middle, like with what we would traditionally say turf mould, or like a lot of sponge around it. So like our slitters now are like the first night we got them, like the fresh out of the bag, and we were like, they were branded or whatever with a particular brand, and we're like, lovely, oh, just they're grand. And a week later, then they were just bags of sponge.
Jesus,
they're just fucking shit, like from a couple of trainings. Whereas like back in the day, you get a full season of a slitter.
Yeah.
And now they're just horrendous. And it's annoying me. I don't know how we can regulate it. Now, look, there's people calling for like slitters to be made heavier because lads can drive them too far or whatever. But I just want them to be made better so that when the club pay a load of money to get slitters at the start of the year, they get some bit of use out of them and they don't just turn into bags of sponge. Rant over.
But the issue is, like a lot of things in life, nobody wants to pay.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, our club probably paid €2 for the slitters.
Yeah.
And we're quite happy for it.
And somebody said, sure, you're going to lose half many.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it's, yeah, but they're just not ideal.
And I thought lads were having me on after the first night. It's very hard to judge the flight in the air.
Yeah.
I missed one or two in the warm-up and I was like, geez, I'm a bit rusty. And then all the lads around me were saying, is it just me or is that ball wobbling in the air?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but this is the thing, you get these emails every day, like when I was making Hurleys, loads of companies onto you. Dear sir / mister, we are top providers of
elite slitters. Contact Usman. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Legit. Seems like a nice guy.
Seems a nice guy.
How much should you be paying for a regular slitter? Sorry.
Look, if you're buying them off O'Neill's, they're about €12.
€12 slitter, yeah.
But you can buy them off someone local. You could buy them in Ireland for about €3, I'd say.
Probably, yeah. €3, €4. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, 100%.
But O'Neill's aren't the only good ones. There are other good ones.
Oh, yeah,
out there.
Yeah. Cummins, a load of them. Yeah, a load of really good ones. Yeah, 100%. Also, my washing machine's on the blink again.
Ah, Johnny.
It rumbles on, man. I what only got it fixed a couple of weeks ago. Do some washing going through.
How
it,
have
man.
You so much washing?
I'm going to have to buy a new one now. It's send on recommendations.
How are you doing so much washing?
I don't know. We see, we're letting it pile up and then we're just like blown through it in during
are
the
Are you
week.
Putting too much in?
In fairness now, Annie doesn't. But if I'm left to do the washing at the weekend and like, oh yeah, I have to maybe fill it to the brim. And the dryer. She's like, don't put that much in the dryer, like, because they're creased. I'm like, oh my God. But if I can save myself walking out to our shed to the dryer, like, you know, by stockpiling it, I will.
You're definitely overloading the washing machine.
And now I think I fucked it. So I need a new washing machine. So if anybody knows, like, you know, reasonable washing machine. So. That's not me looking for a freebie, but if you want to give me a freebie.
We've got to say thanks to Golden Bake, who sent us pizza ovens.
Yeah, 100%. We'll stick up a story. We might have a pizza off during the week.
Yeah, class. You can buy pizza dough in the shops and fucking. Oh.
Yeah, the Golden Bake stuff, it comes frozen.
Yeah.
In sourdough balls. You roll it out then and put on your toppings. But very don't nice. Put on too much passata. I did that. Pizza was fucking sopping.
Yeah. My yurt of the week.
Yes.
Is a funny one. You know, your one that had the driving license song. Olivia Rodrigo?
Yeah, I listened to her album today after Neil recommended it.
Well.
Yeah, it's good. Some of the songs are like quite sad and then other ones are like fucking, she's rocking over it. Like, it's been a weird breakup for her with the boyfriend.
Whoever he was.
She's been very happy sad, angry sad. She's a lot of different flavours of sad. But yeah.
My yurt is the fact that I can now hear songs on the radio that have an electric guitar in them.
They're back.
Even if she is, what is she, 18? Probably doesn't play it herself, but the song has an electric guitar. And I swear to God, John, it's been years.
Bring back pop punk.
Yeah, but so me and Smax are kind of writing and recording an album, and like pretty much all our songs will have electric guitar on them. So I'm delighted to know that.
Happy to see Olivia Rodrigo pave the way for guitar songs to be back. Yeah.
Not that ours will sound that like her.
Oh, definitely not.
And sorry to say it, but her new song sounds exactly like that Paramore song, Misery Business.
Just touch Avril Lavigne off her album. So, yeah.
Bang off. But delighted to hear a bit of guitar on the radio.
Dirt of the Week. You've heard of, what is it? Mothers and Udders. Which was a good initiative by the ladies Gaelic football. Now there is Dads and Lads.
No way.
Hurling and football initiative launched by the GAA to get older men and people who aren't playing competitively back in some sort of an action. So it's been launched there, I think, last week.
Great.
Came across it online. Not what you want. You want to see those legends down the pub who were always giving out about you. You want to see them play so that you can go back to the pub and say, you're one to talk, lad.
I've seen you.
You were dog shit and you're 10 stone overweight. Now don't get on to me about me love handles. There you go.
And is there any restrictions? You have to be over a certain age?
I don't think so. I think it's like, as they're calling it, social hurling.
And football,
yeah. So
football's got to be a bit safer. You bring some lad out of retirement to play hurling.
Yeah, that is dangerous. I'm just reading here. I've got the article on it. GA Dads and Lads is a social hurling. Sorry, one second. It's a social hurling and football program for those keen to enjoy the games outside the traditional competitive structures.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so it's good to have it back.
They're trialing it here. Here's men, middle aged men.
See, look at that. They're lifting each other up. They're happy out there in the photos.
Lads in what age?
Jeez, they're old enough, anyway.
50s.
Or else they were just bald really young.
That's okay, too.
Yeah, that is okay. So look, they're launching that and it's going ahead. And check out your local club. I'm sure they'll get a lad. We got to make sure and get a Dads and Lads up and running in Care. I want to see, like, Care play Art Finnan, Dads and Lads. Now, that's probably not the reason it was set up, because there will be blood.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I think it's a good initiative and it's good luck. It's getting people active. And
man, we'll be getting our best players and sneaking them onto that just to win.
I'm gonna like shave my head like I'm balding and just be like, oh no, shall I make it old now? Might grow a mustache. Make myself look older.
I'm Johnny Tax. Okay.
That's it this week.
Thanks for listening,
the
everybody.
The pubs are back. Everybody's in good form. We're getting there. Mara, good to have you back in studio as well.
Hey.
That's it this week. So from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Mara.
Shout, Neil.
And from me, Neil.
Yeah, there you go. We can't even afford a microphone. Thank God we've signed with Spotify. See you later. Go on. Good luck.
Good luck.